Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, and welcome to Episode 6, Season 3 of the Autodidactic Podcast. So this season is about my de-stupidification project, and I want to be completely honest with my listeners. I'm struggling. In the last episode, I talked about time management techniques and prioritization. This is because I needed to reprioritize and to reduce the amount of time I spent on the project. I can tell you this simply has not worked. Although the time management techniques are effective and I can use the time which I made available, the main issue at the moment is my energy levels are very low. So in this episode, I want to try and delve into what you can do when, like me, your motivation has fallen off a cliff, but you still want to soldier on. In this week's episode, I'll look into things to do in order to get your motivation back, and I'll report on my progress on the YouTube channel. I hope that if you've encountered the same problem with overcommitment and lack of energy, this podcast will be of some use to you. The first thing is to try and do some introspection and discover why you've lost motivation to study. In my case, it's fairly obvious. I've got a new, highly pressured job and it sucks up a lot of mental energy. In addition, I'm tired and not sleeping regularly enough. But demotivation is a category of problems containing many variations. So you need to look below the surface of the problem and try and tease out all the demotivators if you're going to be able to eliminate them. There is a long list of potential demotivators, and it's only after you identify and eliminate them all that you'll be fully motivated and ready to go again. Here are some demotivators to look for. Fear. You might be going outside your comfort zone and it is causing you anxiety, which is in turn a demotivator. You've got the wrong goals. If your goals aren't clear or you're not aligned with them, they can become a demotivator in themselves. Occupation about the future. If you're worried about what might happen tomorrow, then you can't focus on today and your immediate goals. Fatigue. You simply might need more rest. If you're overburdened, demotivation rears its ugly head when we're extremely tired. Being overwhelmed. One of the major causes of lack of motivation is the feeling of being overwhelmed. If you just have too much to do and you feel defeated by the pile of things to be done. Procrastination. The more you set your tasks aside, the more demotivated you can get. And without enough motivation, your output will suffer. Impatience. It's wanting to be done can demotivate you. When impatience affects our motivation, we get more prone to quitting. A lack of progress. Not seeing any visible progress toward our goals and ambition can be extremely demotivating. A lack of focus. If you're doing the same thing day in and day out, for some people, the lack of variation can become a demotivator. Conflict. If your goals, ambitions, and study plans are in conflict with your lifestyle or values, then it can demotivate you. Mental illness issues. For example, dysthymia, which is a low-grade form of depression that leaves the individual able to engage in their day but still provides the classic symptoms of fatigue and lack of motivation. Physical illness. You may be sick or have some sort of physical ailment which is causing your lack of motivation. Self-sabotage. You're capable of achievement and are purposely sabotaging yourself and preventing yourself from moving forward. After you have identified what the problem is, the solution is normally self-evident. If we look closely at the list, we can see that there are types of remedies that we can use. Fear. To get motivated, you need to deal with your fear. So start by naming your fears so they're out in the open, and then put them on trial. After you name the fear, write it down to make it concrete, and then argue the case for the defense. Ask questions like, what is the chance of that really happening? What evidence is there that this thought is true? What evidence is there that it's not true? You've got the wrong goals. Have a look at the goals. Are they too large, not well-defined, unrealistic? Try and change them into SMART goals. A SMART goal is used to help goal guiding and setting. SMART is an acronym that stands for Specific, Measurable, Achievable, Realistic, and Timely. Therefore, a SMART goal incorporates all of these criteria to help you focus and increase the chance of achieving your goal. Occupation about the future. First, you need to determine if your worries are actionable. If a worry is solvable, then start brainstorming solutions. If it isn't solvable, then you just need to accept the uncertainty. You can try these three steps to stop yourself from worrying. Create a worry period. Set aside a time and a place to worry. It should be the same time every day. For example, the living room at 5 to 5:20 p.m. And early enough it won't make you anxious before bedtime. During your worry period, you're allowed to worry about whatever is on your mind. The rest of the day, however, is worry-free. Write down your worries. An anxious thought or worry comes into your head during the day, make a note of it and then continue with your day. Remind yourself that you have set aside time to think about it later. There's no need to worry about it right now. Also, writing down your thoughts on a pad or your phone or on a computer, it's much harder than simply thinking them, and your worries are more likely to lose their power. Go over your worry list during the worry period. If the thoughts you wrote down are still bothering you, allow yourself to worry about them, but only for the amount of time you specified for your worry period. And as you examine your worries in this way, you often find it's easier to develop a balanced perspective. And if your worries don't seem important anymore, simply cut your worry period short and enjoy the rest of the day. Fatigue. Many cases of tiredness are due to stress, not enough sleep, poor diet, and other lifestyle factors. And you can try some of these tips to help fight the fatigue. A good way to keep up your energy during the day is to eat regular meals and healthy snacks every 3 to 4 hours rather than one large meal less often. A 15-minute walk can help you boost your energy, and the benefits increase with more frequent physical activity. If your body is carrying excess weight, it can be exhausting. It also puts extra strain on your heart, which makes you tired. So you can lose weight and feel more energetic. And some tips for sleeping well include going to bed and getting up in the morning at the same time every day. Avoid taking naps during the day and take time to relax before you go to bed. Stress uses a lot of energy. Try to introduce relaxing activities into your day. Try to cut out caffeine and cut out alcohol before bedtime. You'll get a better night's sleep and have more energy. Sometimes you feel tired simply because you're mildly dehydrated, so a glass of water could do the trick, especially after exercise. Being overwhelmed. It's probably the most common mistake that people make. They try to take on too much, try to accomplish too many goals at the same time. You cannot maintain energy and focus, the two most important things to accomplishing a goal, if you're trying to do two or more goals at once. If you have to choose one goal for now, do that and focus on it completely. Procrastination. Procrastination is less about avoiding a task than avoiding the negative emotions associated with the task. And procrastination is rooted in, not in laziness, but in perfection, anxiety, or fear of failure. So building momentum by tackling smaller tasks first can often help rebuild your confidence to meet larger goals. Now, I've lumped together impatience and lack of progress because these often go hand in hand. It's a frequent problem for language learners who reach the dreaded intermediate plateau and don't seem to be progressing. But if you evaluate your skills and knowledge realistically, you'll see that you have been making progress even if it's only a little. So you need to manage your expectations as well as manage your goals and make them realistic. A lack of flexibility. Change up what you're doing. Study something else for a little while. Take a break. Try a different place or a different place to study or a different way of studying. Conflict. Start with acknowledging the internal conflict. Get a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle so you have two columns. And then write the two different directions you feel pulled in, one in each column, and summarize it with a statement of what each part wants. Then pick one column and chunk it up. What does this part want? What does it hope to get to as a result? Keep asking these questions and writing your answers until you feel you've hit the result of what you ultimately want in this column. And do the same with the other one. And when you get to a level where the answers in two columns are the same. For mental illness and physical illnesses, it is best to consult a health professional. and self-sabotage. For many of us, our self-sabotaging behaviors and beliefs are rooted in our feelings of self-worth. Figuring out what is causing you to self-sabotage will help you focus on the specific changes needed to stop these behaviors. Fear tends to be the main cause of what holds us back. We fear that our inner critic is right, we believe that we don't deserve happiness, we aren't tough or bright enough, and we don't believe we have what it takes to make us successful in life. These thoughts and self-limiting beliefs are not helpful, and your negative dialogue needs to become a whisper that you can hardly hear. So the section on overcoming fear, it would be useful to listen to again. That's it for this week, a very short episode. I will be looking at my own demotivators and give some updates on my YouTube channel. I hope this episode has been of some help to you in overcoming demotivation if you encounter it. If you have any comments or suggestions, please feel free to comment on the website, autodidactic.info, or on the YouTube channel. I'll try and respond as quickly as I can. You can also email me at rick@autodidactic.info. I will put a link to the YouTube channel in the show transcription and the show notes on the website. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.